America marks a somber milestone today. Today's the anniversary of one of the most seminal events in modern history. 75 years ago, December 7th, 1941, there was a bold surprise attack by the Imperial Japanese Navy, which decimated the bulk of the U.S. Pacific Fleet stationed at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. The disaster sparked America's entry into World War II. As the attack unfolded and destruction raged, one Michigan sailor chose to forego his own safety so that his shipmates might have a chance at survival. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now with the remarkable story of Ensign Francis Flaherty. Kevin, what do we know about this man?
Mark, we know that he was 22 years old when he was killed at Pearl Harbor. Flaherty was in a gun turret aboard the battleship Oklahoma, which capsized during the attack. His actions earned him the Medal of Honor. And we can truly say he was a hometown hero because he grew up right here in mid-Michigan.
The American Legion Post 42 in Charlotte looks like thousands of others scattered throughout thousands of American towns. In this little place off M79, veterans come to eat, throw darts, and find a sympathetic ear. The post bears the name of two sons of Charlotte. Private Irwin Greenwalt was killed in the war to end all wars. 4 months after the armistice, the world believed such an awful fate would never happen again. And that's when Francis Charles Flaherty was born. For decades, Flaherty's name seemed all but forgotten in this little Michigan town. That is, until another Charlotte native stepped up.
Very few people knew anything about him. He really didn't receive the recognition that he deserved.
Don Calizzi is 78, too young to have known Francis Flaherty. But his parents likely knew him quite well. They were Italian immigrants who ran the local soda fountain, the social lifeline of so many small towns in the 20s and 30s.
I was born in Michigan, and I wish and wish again that I was back in the town where I was born.
Francis Flaherty was born in Charlotte, March 15, 1919. And though they never met, Flaherty and Don Calizzi shared a personal thread. Late in his life, Francis's high school pal Bill Cheney met Calizzi and told him about his best friend.
Bill had nothing but adoration for him. He said he was a fine young man, always helping others, very well liked, kind of a class leader, quite intelligent, obviously. I mean, he planned to study medicine in the future, so he had to have, you know, some smarts to do that. But he sounded like the kind of guy everybody wanted to be. He was really, really quite a person.
Francis was named for his father, a first-generation Irish-American who went by Frank. He worked for some years at the Belden Elevator Company in Charlotte. And then came the crash.
They used to tell me I was building a dream. And so I followed the mob.
When stocks plummeted in 29, the Flahertys weathered their share of the storm. When Frank fell ill, his wife Gertrude took over his management post at the company. In 1932, double tragedy fell upon the family. Frank died that July. The emotional strain was too much for Gertrude. While Francis lived with his grandmother at her home on Harris Street, Gertrude checked into a sanitarium in Ohio.
Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Everyone is saying you don't love me. Say it isn't so.
Gertrude Flaherty returned home weeks later. One day in October, she told her sister she was going to call on a friend, but the visit never happened. Gertrude made her way to a nearby park and submerged herself in the Battle Creek River. Young Francis had lost both his parents. He was 13 years old. Somehow, Francis carried on. He attended Charlotte High School. The original building still stands. Today, it's an apartment complex. Again, Don Calizzi.
He was a pretty bright student. Pretty active. He was on the football team, probably not a star player, was in the science club. He was on Cheyenne staff, which is our yearbook.
Just before he graduated in 1936, one of Francis' peers on the Cheyenne interviewed him for the yearbook. What started as a simple question ended with a prophetic reply. The young man whose mother had drowned could not foresee how ironic his answer would be.
They asked him what his plans were for the future. He said, I hope to become a doctor and serve on a ship somewhere. And the interviewer said, what if the ship might spring a leak? He said, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't own it.
Hail, hail,
Flaherty went on to the University of Michigan. He still dreamed of a career in medicine, and that might be what led him to pursue a stint in the Navy Reserve. With a war already raging in Europe, Flaherty became a commissioned naval officer in the summer of 1940. And on December 7, 1941, Ensign Flaherty was in his bunk aboard the Oklahoma, moored along Battleship Row at Pearl Harbor.
From the NBC newsroom in New York, President Roosevelt said in a statement today that the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, from the air.
We will interrupt all programs to give you latest news bulletin. Stay tuned to this station.
The governor has proclaimed a state of emergency.
The attack was swift. 13 minutes in, the Arizona was crippled by a massive explosion that sent her to the seabed. The Oklahoma and every other nearby ship was in chaos. The defining moment of Francis Charles Flaherty's life had come.
When the Japanese attacked, Oklahoma sustained 9 hits from torpedoes that were dropped from airplanes. As the ship was capsizing, an order was given to abandon ship. Flaherty ignored the order to abandon ship. Instead, he shined a flashlight on the corridor exit and pushed his crewmates toward the exit. One of the officers said the last time he saw Flaherty, he was knee-deep in water pushing his men toward the exit. What was important to him was to save the lives of his crewmates without really thinking about the danger caused to himself.
When it was over, 2,400 Americans were dead. The United States was catapulted into the Second World War. In 1943, the capsized Oklahoma was righted and searched. The remains of 35 men were later identified. Francis Flaherty was not among them. In the midst of the attack, someone noted Flaherty's heroism. He was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor, the first man from Michigan to be so decorated during World War II. In 1946, American Legion Post 42 added Flaherty's name to its title. But decades later, as he began piecing the story together for himself, Don Calizzi felt something was lacking. He envisioned a more permanent memorial.
So we printed up a simple brochure and started going around town trying to get money for the monument. And amazingly, we raised $20,000 in 6 weeks. So that tells you something about the patriotism that exists in this town. And the monument was dedicated, I think it was either 2000 or 2001. But it sits in front of the historical courthouse in downtown Charlotte. We dedicated it on Memorial Day of that year. It was quite a program. We had over 100 contributors. And I'll tell you, we didn't have to ask twice. Once we told them what we were doing, we're honoring the memory of a Charlotte hometown hero. People reached into their wallets and graciously gave us contributions. We had contributions from anywhere from $25 up to $5,000 from one contributor.
Flaherty shares the courthouse memorial with another Medal of Honor recipient. Sergeant Michael Hudson was a U.S. Marine who fought in the Battle of Mobile Bay in the Civil War. He died in 1891 and is buried in Charlotte's Maple Hill Cemetery, not far from the headstone marking what should be Francis Flaherty's place beside his parents. 75 years after his death, a search is underway to find Flaherty's remains. In 2015, the Pentagon ordered the known remains of the USS Oklahoma victims to be exhumed and studied for DNA analysis. And since then, 5 sailors from that ship have been identified, including Fireman First Class Jim Johnston, whose remains are being laid to rest today in his hometown of Wesson, Mississippi. D. King is a forensic genealogist under contract with the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency. She's trying to find positive matches between fallen Oklahoma sailors and their descendants. So far, no match has come up for Francis Flaherty, but King says there may still be some hope.
It's my understanding that they have identified 32 sailors thus far, have had burials for 31, but I understand that the lab that's now handling much of this in Nebraska has made huge strides in getting everything organized for future identifications. So I certainly hope that Flaherty is among those. I know that there were several of his shipmates that, in addition to family, I'm sure, that were eager for identification of Ensign Flaherty.
For King, the work is about more than tracking data and donors. And like Don Calizzi, she also once had a brush with someone whose life was touched by Ensign Flaherty.
I had the honor of speaking with his bunkmate at the USS Oklahoma reunion we went to, I believe back in 2010, Mr. Ed Beasy, who just recently died. told me that they were in their bunks when the first hit happened. Everything went dark. They went to the door. Flaherty went one direction. Mr. Vesey went the other. And they, Mr. Vesey never saw his roommate again. And for years, that had haunted him that, you know, perhaps if they'd each gone the other direction, it would have turned out differently.
Don Calizzi hopes for the day when Francis Charles Flaherty may receive a proper and respectful burial in Charlotte. Until then, he's proud to continue telling the story of the man behind the flashlight who sacrificed himself for his shipmates.
You know, we're a little short on heroes today, and it's kind of nice to have one you can talk about who happens to be from your hometown. And that's very fulfilling.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.